under the category of it doesn't get any better than this guy on and off the broadcast, because he's just one of the great guys out there, and that is my good friend Paul Keels, the voice of Ohio State. Hello, sir. How is the great one today?
Well, you know, it's just always an honor to be in the presence of a guy that is such a skilled golfer that he can tee off and mash the ball so hard that the head comes flying off of his driver.
Third hole, foul course, it goes flying off. Paul looks over and he says, "That wasn't the ball, was it?" I said, "No." Yeah, so we teed off with a 6-iron the rest of the day.
A memorable day on the golf course in Bloomington, Indiana.
You and I had a blast that day. A blast.
Absolutely, absolutely. All's good here. Hope all's good there.
All's good here, my friend. So there's certain things you don't know until they really start playing game in and game out. Drew Aller, we've seen that with Penn State. You've now seen a game in and game out with Kyle McCord. What have you thought watching him and the maturation of him?
You know, Steve, it's been a growing process, as you would imagine. I mean, this is a guy that had a lot of backup snaps in mop-up duty, with the exclusion of one start a couple of years ago against Akron. But what you've seen is a guy that has had to grow into the position. He had some rough stretches, but when they've really needed him, case in point, fourth quarter on the road at Notre Dame, he's been able to make the plays that he's needed to make. It doesn't hurt that you have receivers like Marvin Johnson, Emeka Ebuka when healthy, Julian Fleming, Cade Stover, and running backs when healthy that can provide that kind of a threat. But he really has grown into where we've seen him become a poised quarterback.
You've seen a lot of great receivers at Ohio State, the David Bostons. I can go through the long list. But Marvin is now third all-time in 100-yard receiving games. I believe he's at 11 now. When you look at him, based on the fact that you have looked at so many quality receivers over the years, what makes him special?
You know, Steve, you'll laugh at this, because early on in the game at Purdue last week, he dropped a pass that he normally catches. I mean, it hit him right in the hands and just dry. And Jim Lachey and I just looked at one another. I was like, can you believe that just happened?
Yeah.
He's a guy that just does all the things that everybody from an opposing team is worried that he'll do, even though they know it's coming. He's a guy that runs incredible routes. He makes just those incredible sticky finger catches. He's got the ability to get to separate from defensive backs, and just has become consistent. And his presence certainly has helped open the door for others when he's drawn double coverage. But he, without question, he is truly one of the best that we've seen come along the path here at Ohio State.
And you know what? This is going to be a game where we're going to see a lot of tight ends. Theo Johnson, Tyler Warren. Cade Stover made a big play against Penn State last year. It seems like every game I watch, he makes a big play. You talked about the domino effect of Marvin Harrison. What does Cade Stover mean in that domino effect?
Well, he's been a guy, Steve, that has done all of the things that fit the job description of a tight end. He's blocked incredibly well.
Yeah.
He's made great catches. He's run good routes. He's made great yardage after the catch, and we've seen that this year in a couple of instances. But he's really become a good leader on this football team. You know, this is a guy who a couple of years ago was playing some linebacker because of the situation they had on that side of the football. Came back. He could have left and tried the pro route after last season, but a guy that just he does all of those things that you need a tight end to do. But much like the two guys at Penn State that you talked about, he's a guy that can make things happen after he gets the ball in his hands.
Mentioned linebacker Jack Ham, can't say enough about Tommy. And then I can't say enough about Steel Chambers, who had been a running back at one point and was flipped over. When you look at the two of them, what do they do to stabilize the Ohio State defense?
Well, Tommy Eichenberg, and it's no surprise that Jack likes Tommy the way he plays, because he plays a lot like Jack did. You know, he's the quarterback out there. He sees everything that happens. He gets people lined up. He's a big, strong, physical guy that can move very well to get into positions. And Steel Chambers, because of that ability, as you mentioned, having been a running back, he's a guy that can cover a lot of territory. And you know who's making the push to get some of those reps now is Cody Simon.
Yes.
Even though they generally play just two linebackers, he's a guy that if they go to a third or sure he's gotten some of the reps that Steel Chambers has had. And Cody's a guy that dealt with some injuries a couple of years ago, but has really helped them in many different situations and makes additional special teams plays there. So it's a group that really has been a big part of why this defense has improved. One of the biggest things they had to do this year, Steve, was limit the opponent getting explosive plays, and mm-hmm. they've been able to do that in large part because of the way those guys have played.
Look, I know Denzel Burke is a terrific corner, but the guy I keep looking at all the time when I'm watching video is the sixth-year guy, Josh Proctor. What has his presence meant back at that safety spot for what Jim wants to do?
A lot. Experience, as you said. But keep in mind, too, Josh is a guy that two years ago broke his leg in a game against Oregon that they lost. Last year, lost his starting job during the first game of the season. He let a big play get out of the gate against Notre Dame and could have, again, tried to pursue the pro route after last year, but his comeback has been a leader. Jim Knowles' defense is really kind of heavily safety-oriented, and Josh Proctor, along with Lathan Ransom, have been a big part of that. You know, you think about the Maryland game a couple of weeks ago when Ohio State needed a big play. Offense was kind of stuck in the mud. Maryland was really making some things happen. Josh Proctor gets a big six, and that pick six just changed the whole momentum of that football game.
When you watched Ohio State play Notre Dame, and you knew it was going to be a four-quarter game, it was going to go the last few minutes, what did Ohio State show you in all three phases that made that a win for Ohio State?
Well, and it's funny you mentioned three, Steve, because there was a punt that got Notre Dame pinned deep, even though the Irish drove downfield. But defensively, they had one, maybe two crucial stops of Notre Dame on fourth downs. One that was right down around the goal line that could have changed the momentum of that football game. The defense got the ball back for the offense when it looked like Notre Dame had an opportunity to try and grind the clock out. Surprisingly, Notre Dame was running some pass plays when they needed to chew the clock, and they weren't doing it. The defense got the ball back, and then you saw, you know, and this goes back to what we were talking about with Kyle McCord, Steve. Their last possession, both first and second downs, he tries to throw the ball to Travion Henderson out of the backfield. Bad misses. But then he's able to really rein it in. Big pass play to Marvin Harrison, who had been hurt earlier. Big pass play to Xavier Johnson. A crucial fourth down catch by Julian Fleming. And then a ball thrown to Emeka Ebuka that gets him down at the one-yard line and sets up the game winner for Chip Traynham. So it showed you that in a difficult situation in front of a difficult crowd, this was a team that could make the plays they needed to. The way Ryan Day talked, there was no panic. They still had confidence that they could get themselves in a position to win the football game. And that's exactly what they did.
I'm glad you mentioned Xavier Johnson in that answer, because there's certain guys that will fly under the radar that are important to a team winning games. What do you see in Xavier Johnson in his own way that helps Ohio State win games?
That he will do whatever is asked of him. This is a guy that came to Ohio State as a walk-on. I believe, Steve, the only scholarships offers he had coming out of Cincinnati were to Ivy League schools. Worked as a cornerback for a while, excelled on special teams, and then last year really burst onto the scene. He caught a go-ahead touchdown at home against Notre Dame. He had a long TD run against Indiana, caught a TD against Georgia in the playoffs, and a guy that last week with the injuries at running back, they used him running the football. He's a guy that can go out there and catch passes, still plays out there on special teams, just one of those young men that will do whatever is asked of him.
Last year when Travion Henderson got hurt, and Mayan Williams played most of the game, and Henderson played some of the game against Penn State, but down the stretch, Dallin Hayden had to play. I know the plan that Ryan and his staff have. They would idealistically love to redshirt him, but they played him last week. I mean, you've got four games to play with him in the regular season. What kind of running back is he, and where is he even a little bit better this year than he was as a true freshman?
You know, he'd only played in one game prior to last week at Purdue.
Right.
He's a guy that he just seems to have a little different acceleration to get to the hole than some of the other running backs have. And again, it was out of necessity last week. Both Henderson and Williams did not even play in the game. Williams didn't even make the trip. Traynham got hurt with what appeared to be a concussion in the first half. So Dallin came in there, and he had not had a carry prior to last week. He just seems to have a unique ability to play off the blocks and have a real good recognition of where the holes are. His ball security has been good. His pass protection needs some help, but he just really was able to answer the bell. This is a guy that, you know, last year he was able to come in. He had a 100-yard game with 3 touchdowns at Maryland and help Ohio State win a game they barely hung on to win the week before the Michigan game. And then we really didn't see him against either Michigan or against Georgia last year. But, the plan still, if possible, to redshirt him. But as Ryan Day mentioned in his press conference yesterday, they'll talk with Dallin, see how things play out, and do what's best for the football team. Now, a lot of that's going to have to do with how available Henderson and Williams are and what the status is with Trainum. But it was amazing to see a guy that's number 4 on the depth chart, but he was there and he was ready when called upon.
Yeah, exactly. Penn State fans, of course, know all about JTT. He was the game wrecker last year. But what about the guy on the other side, Sawyer? What does it mean having him over there as a balance for JTT?
Well, you know, and those two have been subject of a lot of talk around here because the sack numbers haven't been what people would expect. They're now up to 10 sacks now, but I think when you consider having played Purdue and Maryland, that kind of got it healthy a little bit. And then the sack numbers are probably down because they've been one of the best in the nation and not letting up explosive plays. They've not allowed a play over 40 yards. They've only allowed 4 plays of 30 or more yards. But what those two do, Tui Moloa and Sawyer at defensive ends, they play well off of one another. They take advantage of what the guys in the middle, like Mike Hall and Ty Hamilton and Tylee Williams, do. And because some of the teams early on, especially in some of the non-conference games, were getting rid of the ball early. Indiana in week one was running some triple option while they were trying to figure out who they were going to use at quarterback. But, you know, what everybody's really looking for from both Tui Moloa and Sawyer is consistency. I mean, Jalen, he had a career in one game there in college last year.
I noticed.
he's shown some flashes of that. He had a play at Notre Dame where he got back there and almost had another pick six like he had last year in State College. It's just seeing it consistently from both of them. Sawyer's a little more of a big, physical, bruising defensive end. Tui Moloa's got athletic ability. He was an outstanding high school basketball player. So they have different skill sets that allow them to really complement one another on each of those end spots.
Are you sensing that this is more the type of defense that Jim Knowles has wanted to play?
I think so, although he's talked about, Steve, what he'd like to do is maybe blitz a little more. Yeah. And they haven't just because they've been concerned about letting things out the gate on the back end. And they're not, and you can relate to this because of your experience with Larry Johnson, they're not rotating as many defensive linemen as you normally have seen them do. They're giving their first 4 or 5 more of the reps. But I think what Jim Knowles has had to do really is kind of adjust what he'd like to do to make it suit the skill set of the players that they feel like are the best ones to have on the field.
My friend, always a pleasure. I really look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
The pleasure is all mine, and I look forward to the same.
Great one. I bow to you. The outstanding Paul Keels.